Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Five Star Business Finance Limited Q4 FY 2026 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Raghav Garg from Ambit Capital. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Ambit Capital, I would like to welcome you all to the Q4 FY 2026 earnings call for Five Star Business Finance. Joining us from the management today, we have Mr. Lakshmipathy Deenadayalan, Chairman and Managing Director, Mr. Srikanth Gopalakrishnan, Joint Managing Director and CFO, and Mr. Prashant, Chief of Treasury and Investor Relations. I thank the management for the opportunity to host this earnings call. We can now begin with opening remarks from Mr. Lakshmipathy, post which we can open the floor for questions. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Pathy.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Raghav. We have just completed one of the most challenging years for Five Star. The asset quality headwinds faced by MFIs and unsecured loans, unsecured loan lenders over the last couple of years crept into the portfolios of secured loan lenders also, especially those providing small ticket loans. As a company, we all know Five Star provides loans to small business owners and self-employed individuals. With a higher proportion of MFI overlap, this resulted in increase in DPDs and NPA for Five Star during the course of this financial year. However, the actions taken by us over the last few quarters have helped us to tide over these challenging times, and I'm very happy to state that the worst is behind us, and the coming quarters will see us moving in one direction, onwards and upwards. Let me get into the quarter that just got completed. In the current quarter has been very encouraging, with collection efficiency across all buckets showing excellent improvements and getting back to the robust levels. This shows our strength in credit underwriting and collection infrastructure. I wanted to share few collection metrics that clearly shows this trend. For the quarter ended March 31st, 2026, we clocked a unique customer collection efficiency of 98.1%, which is one of our best in the history of Five Star. Our ex-bucket collections for the quarter came in at 99.3%, which has helped contain forward flows from ex-buckets. Our slippage ratio has dropped from 1.09% in last quarter to 0.7% in this quarter. This has helped our NPA remain largely stable between the quarters at 3.37%. Credit cost has remained largely stable at 1.88% of the average AUM for the Q4, compared with 1.76% in last quarter. After quarters of continuous drop, the current proportion, the customers who are in current buckets, has moved up almost by close to 1%, from 81.77% in Q3 to 82.69% in Q4. All the above metrics, what I said, clearly shows the collection efficiency across all buckets are back to our normal trends. With our collection strategies in place and our collection efforts showing strong traction, we started to refocus on distribution and portfolio growth during the current quarter. Our disbursement for the quarter came in at 1,213 crores, an increase of 24% over the previous quarter. Our disbursement for the full year came in at 4,675 crores, which has allowed us to clock a portfolio growth of 11% even during a challenging year. During the quarter ended March 31st, 2026, we availed an incremental debt of 928 crores at an all-inclusive cost of 8.53%. We raised 100 million from Asian Development Bank, ADB, one of the largest development financial institutions across the globe during this quarter, which is a reinforcement of lenders' belief in Five-Star. While the all-inclusive cost was slightly higher than the previous quarter, it was primarily on account of higher hedging cost we have to pay on this transaction. Our cost of funds for the quarter dropped from 9.12% in Q3 to 8.95% in Q4. And for the full year, we saw a drop in our cost of fund from 9.64% in last year to 9.21% this year. For the quarter, we achieved a PAT of 269 crores. While this is 3% lower as compared to the previous quarter on account of higher personal expense. I want to reinforce the fact over PAT, for the full year we grew even in such a challenging year by 2%. And we clocked a full year PAT of 1099 crores. Our return on average AUM and return on equity for the financial year 2026 remains healthy at 8.68% and 16% respectively. I also want to touch upon another aspect that has created a bit of overhang on us during this year. There was a senior management exit during this year, but I want to clearly lay down the fact this has no impact on our performance. As can be seen from our results, this is a testimony to the strength and depth of our team, both at the management and the branches level. We have built a team that has never been and will never be dependent on one or few individuals. It may sound cliched, but men may come and men may go, but we go forever. Now, as we step into a new financial year, we are geared up to get back on the track of growth and well poised to achieve an AUM growth of around 20% for the financial year 2027. And thereafter, we will slowly move upwards. As in the past, we will aim at achieving strong yet sustainable growth, quality and profitability through robust credit underwriting, strong collections and proactive risk management backed by use of adoption of technology and AI and supported by a diversified and cost-effective fund profile. The way we handle the challenges gives me immense confidence and clearly shows that we have emerged stronger and will move onwards and upwards. Thank you. Now I'll hand over the call to Srikanth for more in detail.
Very good morning to all of you. As Mr. Pathy has highlighted, I think this has been a quarter which has reinforced our confidence in the business model and the execution capability of Five-Star. And we're very hopeful and confident that each of you on the call and the investors will also feel reinforced with the kind of results that we have been able to demonstrate in this quarter. Let me touch upon just few aspects on the numbers before I hand it over for any questions. Despite dropping our yields by 2% about a year and a half back, our spreads continue to remain quite healthy. In fact, the drop in spread for the full year has just been at 40 basis points, despite the incremental disbursements coming in at about 200 basis points. So we have been able to get good cost of funds to stem the drop in spread. This has resulted in strong return on average AUM at 8.37% and an ROE of close to 16% for the full year. From the borrowing perspective, I think we are being looked at very attractively by the lenders. Like Mr. Pathy said, ADB has given 100 million line to us, out of which we have drawn 50 million during this quarter, and another 50 million is available for us to draw anytime over the next financial year. While this has come in at slightly higher cost because of the hedging costs involved, but this reinforces the fact that even some of the largest lenders of the world are ready to back the company because of its strong underwriting capability and collection infrastructure. Our PAT for the quarter stood at about 269 crores. Because of slight increase in personal expenses, this is lower on a sequential basis and on a YOY basis. Our net worth stands at a very healthy number of about 7,400 crores, 7,380 crores to be precise. We continue to have a good provision coverage ratio both on the overall assets and on the stage 3 assets. Our overall coverage is at 1.84%. And on stage 3, we are at 41.4%. Given that there has been some betterment in the buckets, especially in the stage 2 composition, the stage 2 proportion has dropped a little bit. In fact, our 61 to 90 day bucket has actually come down from about 5.1% to 4.8%, because of which you see a small drop in the stage 2 provision coverage. But we generally track the overall provision coverage because this is what gives confidence on the balance sheet and on the quality of assets that we are holding. As a management team, we are very confident that we have bounced back in the best manner possible. We have taken the right set of actions. As a company, we have faced multiple challenges during this year, asset quality challenges, people-related challenges, but every one of them have been faced by us and we have overcome them in the best manner possible. Like Mr. Pathy said, I think from here onwards, the performance is going to be in one direction, which will be onwards and upwards. That's the confidence we as a management team have, and we would like to make each and every one of you feel confident about the ability of the company to bounce back and grow in the coming years. So on that note, we'll take a pause and very happy to address any questions any of you may have. Thank you.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star.
We'll probably just take a couple of minutes for the question queue to assemble.
Sure, sir. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question comes from the line of Renish from ICICI. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi sir. And congrats on a good set of numbers. So just two things. One, you know, on this asset quality metric. So just wanted to know how April is trending, you know, in terms of collection and flows. And also if you can give some insight on disbursement run rate in April as well.
Renish, April is a seasonally weak quarter, but given that we are coming off a year when we had some challenges, we don't expect material deterioration to happen in April. But at the same time, given that it's a seasonally weak quarter, we also don't expect material improvements to come through. So far, April is trending quite well. I think we are largely in line with a typical April month, both in collections across various buckets. And our belief is that I think this quarter also should be fairly good from an asset quality perspective. Disbursements are looking up. In fact, one of the things that we have done, and we had also highlighted this in the commentary in the presentation and in the exchange release, the split between business and collections is fully operational from the 1st of April. And we expect that this will pave way for a strong disbursement to come in. It's early days, obviously. You know, people are just getting acclimatized to doing different things. But, you know, things are looking good. We are getting, you know, strong lead indicators. And we believe that even in this quarter, we should be able to show a good disbursement growth. And so far, you know, the way the April is trending is giving us the belief that this quarter should be good, both in terms of disbursement and asset quality.
Got it, got it. And so just lastly on this credit cost front, so when we look at net slippage rate, which is obviously coming down pretty sharply in Q4, and also when we look at X bucket, it clearly suggests that incremental flows are far lower than what it used to be during first 9 months of FY26. So if this trend has to sustain, what kind of a credit cost we are building in for 27?
Ranish, I think for FY27, see, if you look at it, the trajectory of credit cost has been, marginally going up over the last four quarters. For Q4, we ended with about 1.88% on average AUM, which is the number from where we will start showing an improvement. Definitely, there will be an improvement. At this point of time, we will probably be guiding you for a credit cost of 1.7 to 1.75% for the next financial year. Depending on how the buckets trend over the year, this could look better from here, but our guidance will be about 1.7 to 1.75%.
Got it, got it. And just a follow-up on that, so I'm sure because, we are coming out from a sort of prolonged credit cycle, and from peak, obviously, it will improve in 27. But what kind of a steady-state credit cost, one should build in the segment where you operate? And also keeping in mind, we are sort of pivoting towards better rated customers, in terms of ticket size. So how should, one should think about the steady state credit cost, let us say from 3 to 5 year perspective?
So, Ranish, I think FY27, we gave you the numbers. 28 to 30, obviously with buckets getting better, the credit cost will trend better. So we are probably looking at anywhere between 1.5 to 1.6% of credit cost as a steady state number. I think we are confident about that. Like you rightly said, collections are getting better. The focus on slippages are a lot higher today. And, to some extent, we are also moving to slightly better quality customers. So maybe 1.5 to 1.6 would be the steady state cost for the next couple of years.
Got it. Got it. This is very helpful, sir. Thank you and best of luck.
Thanks, Ranish.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Abhijit Tibrewal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good morning, sir. Thank you for taking my question.
Abhijit, your voice is quite low.
Is it better now, sir?
Yes.
Sir, thank you for taking my question. The first question I had is just a follow-up on what you just answered to Ranish, that steady-state credit costs could be 1.5 to 1.6%. So, sir, if you could help us understand what has really changed in the last 1 year since this asset quality stress that we started seeing in the lower ticket LAP. Basically, what I'm trying to understand is, going forward, we are saying that the overlap with MFI customers will gradually become lower. We are moving to higher ticket sizes. You just mentioned we are moving to a better customer segment. So versus the credit cost at which we used to operate earlier, and now steady state credit costs of 1.5, 1.6, so what has changed? I mean, earlier credit cost used to be, let's say, 70, 80 basis points. Now we are looking at 1.5 to 1.6. So what has changed in the environment?
Abhijit, I think the earlier guidance that we gave was based on total assets, which was about 0.8 to 1%. If you just convert it into an AUM, that will probably read more like a 1.3 to 1.35%. From where we are actually moving to 1.5 to 1.6. See, what has changed is, I think, our understanding of the environment, our understanding of this customer segment and the skews that they'll probably go through, and the necessity to be a lot more consistent in our approach towards the credit cost buildup is what we are saying. We will probably be, operating at slightly elevated credit cost than what we are, than what we have been handling. Because, see, there are also macroeconomic events which are happening. There are other, issues or stress that keeps cropping up. And at that point of time, if you are looking at a much lower credit cost, then, you are actually putting a lot of pressure on the field force. And especially with our focus on growth also, we need to maintain a good balance between the right growth number and the right credit cost. which is where we believe that I think 1.5 to 1.6 will be a comfortable number to achieve the stated growth objectives, and we want to operate at those levels.
Got it. Got it, sir. So the second question I had was around basically, I mean, every earnings call, right, we've been asking this, that are there any disruptions that we are seeing today on the ground? While most of them have acknowledged that there is nothing in April, which is very different or very alarming from March. And I think you also alluded to, when you answered the previous participant, that April is seasonally weak. There is some deterioration that typically happens in April, but business is picking up. So just trying to understand, given that we cater to a self-employed segment, which is often perceived as a little more vulnerable compared to other customers, but is your reading today that they have not been impacted as yet and they'll kind of continue to pay for some more time, basically their EMIs? Or do you think that maybe in the coming months there is a need to monitor this segment, the collections, and as things shape up, right, and the impact of the West?
So, Vijay, I'm presuming you are you're alluding to, you know, the macroeconomic, the geopolitical scenario, right?
Yes, sir. That's exactly what I'm alluding to.
Anyway, I don't think that has had any major impact like what others have been highlighting. I think we are also not seeing any major impact of that. In fact, we did look at some parts of the portfolio which could potentially be impacted, like those small eateries and NRI remittances and all that. The proportion of that portfolio is firstly extremely small for us. Sub 1%, and even on that, we are not seeing any alarm signals at this point of time. The repayments are coming in, you know, well, in line with the other portfolio. So at this point of time, we are also of the belief that you know, we have not seen or not unlikely to see any material impact of the geopolitical scenario. But again, it's something that we keep you know, keep an eye on, and we'll keep monitoring. Hopefully, we are probably getting to some solutions. And if that happens, I think that will be a positive impact for us.
Got it. Srikanth, sir. And then the last question I had was, in the last 6-12 months, have we seen...
Alaric, we should probably go to the next participant. I think Abhijit has dropped off.
So Abhijit is connected.
Connected.
Can you hear me, sir?
Yeah, now I can hear you. Did you hear an answer?
Sir, I heard you. Maybe there's some problem with the line. I heard your answer, and then the last question that I had was, in the last 6 to 12 months, have we seen...
Alaric, let's just move on. We'll probably take it offline with Abhijit.
Sure, sir. The next question comes from the line of Suraj Das from Sundaram Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, sir. Thanks for the opportunity, sir. One question on ROA. I mean, how do you see the ROA panning out from here on? Given that your steady state credit growth is only 20-30 basis points lower than the current levels, and therefore the ROA driver would be only margin. So how do you see that margin panning out? Do you see the margin probably a bit of coming down over a period of time while you scale, because we increase on the ticket size low and so forth, and hence probably ROA could be here only at the current level of the fourth quarter, or how do you see ROA? That is the only one question.
Yields and cost, but it is also driven by leverage, and that will keep going down obviously with leverage coming in. Our belief is, I think even for the current financial year, which is FY27 and thereafter, we should be able to operate at a spread of around 13.5%. Depending on the leverage, the margins will stack up where they are. And from an ROA perspective, I think we believe that we should be able to operate at about 8.25 to 8.5% for this year, and you know, on a fairly steady state also, about eight quarter levels, we should be able to operate. See, today it is also a function of a bit of leverage, which is much lower. I think as the leverage keeps kicking in, you will see some impact on the ROAs, but that will have a positive impact on ROE. But for this year, I think 8 quarter to 8.5 is an ROA that we should be able to operate at.
Sure, got it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Viral Shah from IIFL Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity and congrats on good set of results. Srikanth, wanted to check three things, if I may. One is, you mentioned about the personal expenses. Was there any one-off, or is this just a reflection of the full build-out cost of the collections vertical that we have built up?
So it's a combination of both, Viral. One is obviously the build-out of the collections vertical. And typically in Q4, you also give slightly higher incentives, some schemes that we put in to actually spur the people to, you know, to run for good collections and good growth. So I wouldn't call it as a one-off, but it's a very typical phenomenon that you will see in, you know, in the last quarter, like how you see in the first quarter, the increment impact coming in. Because the growth was slightly lower for this year, you know, the personal cost looked a little bit on the higher side. But for these two, I think it's largely business as usual.
Got it. And Srikanth, Mr. Pathy mentioned about the growth of 20% for next year on AUM basis. I understand there is some element of arithmetic behind that, given the book tenors of it. But how do you see it, say, on a steady state basis, 28 and maybe even beyond? What is the kind of growth outlook or aspiration that you would have?
So, Viral, I think given that, one, we are coming off a slightly lower growth year, so there is some bit of pent-up demand that will be there, which we should be able to cater to. And also, given the fact that our base is not as high, so, for example, even growing at 20%, by the end of FY27, we'll probably somewhere around close to 16,000 crores. So we still remain confident that at least for the next 2 to 3 years, we should be able to clock a growth around 20%. So if I have to be conservative and give you a range, it will probably be somewhere between 18 to 20%. But, you know, we are definitely, at least for the next 2 to 3 years, we are going to be aiming for a close to 20% growth.
Got it. And my last question, Srikanth, was just with regards to the yield. How much more pass-through of the rate cuts that we had taken 1.5 years back is still remaining? Understand this is on incremental basis, but is it fully reflected on the book? And secondly, given that now we are shifting also segments somewhat in terms of customers, do you foresee, say, some bit of element of yield compression in this year?
Viral, I think the yields has largely been factored. So if I have to put a number, maybe you have another 40 to 50 basis points of impact. So we are today incrementally lending at around 22.5%, and you know, factoring for some delinquencies and all that, the book yield should be closer to about 22 to 22.25, and for Q4 we were at about 22.6. So I would probably say about 30-40 basis points of further impact that may come in over the next 3 to 4 quarters. See, the other point that you asked, I think we have been reiterating consistently, is that this is not a very price sensitive segment. And it's not like we are completely shifting our segment. We are going to be lending at 15, 20 lakhs where the borrowers are extremely price sensitive. We have to drop our yields. This is a segment where we have been operating at similar yields even in the past. And for the last 12 months also, we have been giving similar yields to these customers. So it doesn't change primarily on account of, you know, us focusing more on the, let's say, closer to 5 lakh customers rather than the closer to 3 lakh customers. So we are really envisaging any material disruption to the yields on account of the slightly different focus that we may be carrying.
Got it. Very clear, Srikanth. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
The next question comes from the line of Kunal Thanvi from Banyan Tree Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you for the opportunity. I have 3 questions. One was, you know,
I'm sorry to interrupt, Kunal, you're not quite audible. Could you please use your phone on the
handset
mode?
Sorry, we can't hear you. Is it better now?
Yes, please go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, I had 3 questions. The first one was, you know, when we have done this restructuring, organizational restructuring in terms of, you know, business and collection, you know, being different teams, can you, you know, throw some light on, you know, what were the gaps that you saw? Because, see, we've been in the business for last 20 years, and this is like one of the first time when we've seen a over-leveraging cycle that we saw. And in the first instance itself, we have to reorganize the entire thing. So, like, really interested in understanding, you know, what were the things that went wrong and how did we, how does this reorganization kind of direct it? Second question was on your last quarter's comment on, you know, permanent over-leveraging in the, you know, microfinance sector. If you can, sector is now playing out, what is your sense on the over-leveraging bit? And the third thing is like, see, we, given our size, we've been always saying we, you know, the structural growth will be closer to 25%. And now, Srikanth just alluded to the fact that we'll be tracking closer to 18-20% over the next 3 years. So is it that, you know, structurally our growth rates would be lower than what we were anticipating, say, 2 years back? If yes, then if you can, you know, help us understand why. Because like at one stage we are moving to a slightly higher ticket size, and still if we'll be growing slower than what we had kind of, you know, anticipated 3 years back, are there any things that we should know or, you know, any reasons that we should know for the slower growth? Thanks. These are three questions that I have.
I hope that I'm audible. So let me go one by one. See, we are not extremely going higher on the ticket size. If you see the average ticket size between last year and this year, it has moved from 3.5 lakh per customer to 4.2 lakh per customer. So we are still operating in the sweet spot of 3-5 lakhs. That is where we see the potential for higher growth, and we see there is the challenges for other people to get in. So that is the sweet spot of Five-Star. So we will be operating in 3-5 lakhs, definitely. What we have been saying three quarters before was below 3 lakhs, that had some bit of pain, where we want to slow down in below 3 lakhs and concentrate a bit more on above 5 lakhs. So structurally, 3-5 lakhs will be our core. Even if you see a presentation, close to 50% plus of our total AUM lies in 3-5 lakhs. So there is no big movement that we have made to go and get into the bigger ticket size customers. So we remain in the range bound of 3-5. That's our sweet spot forever, and we remain there stronger. On what happened last year on the structural problem, there was no structural problems at all. As we have been seeing, the problem has come from over-leverage caused by unsecured and microfinance lenders that has also peeped into the secured lenders like Five-Star. So first, it started as a over-leverage issues. Then it translated into behavioral issues. That is where Five-Star was addressing the behavioral issues of our customers in last 3 to 6 months. That is getting set righted now by a continuous effort that what we have been putting with the existing customers. So structurally, if you want to say what is the improvement that we have done is, earlier the business and collections was together. Now the business verticals and collection vertical has been separated since from April 1st, fully functional. So business team now will be focusing more on new businesses, and collection team will be more focusing on stabilization in the DPDs across all the customers in Five-Star. I hope so. I have broadly answered all the questions. There is some kind of disruption that we are not able to hear the entire questions. If any question that we have not answered, please come again.
Yeah, so the last question was, structurally, we have been saying, you know, the business is, because of the lower base and opportunity, 25% was the growth number that we have been giving for last 2-3 years. Now, in one of the comments, Srikanth mentioned that we'll be growing at 18-20% over next 3 years. So is it fair to assume that structurally, our growth rates would be lower compared to what we had anticipated, say, 3 years back, 2-3 years back?
When we were growing at 30% plus, our AUM size was close to 5,000 to 7,000 crores. Now we are sitting on 13,000 crores, and we are coming out from a growth of 10-11% for a full year. We are intent to grow at 20%. So that is why if you see my earlier opening remarks, this will even go up as we move forward year on year. But please understand, from a current of 10-11%, we are doubling in this financial year. Maybe we'll be even higher growth as we go forward.
Okay, sure. And last question is on, you know, our cost to assets, like because of this reorganization and slower growth this year, we see some inch up in the cost to assets number, right?
Can you know, help us understand what should be the structural cost OpEx to assets from a steady state basis?
See, for Q4, if you look at our OpEx to average AUM, we ended slightly higher than 7%. And this year, obviously, there will be some benefit of scale that will come in. But we have also made some investments in the collections vertical. And, you know, there are also, with competition, people getting into this segment, it is also important for us to retain the right set of people by giving slightly higher costs. So our sense is, I think it will largely remain around the 7%-7.25% levels and not show any big decline during the year despite the 20% growth that we'll achieve.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much and all the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Yuval Aiya from Nuvama Institutional Equities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thanks for taking my question. My first question was on our AUM outlook for the next year. So from the current year, if we want to, I understand that there's a low base and therefore we are confident of achieving the 20% growth. But if we look at disbursements, sir, we've only improved our disbursements sequentially. Before that, we were declining our disbursements because of the stress that we saw on asset quality. Also, sir, we've seen the GNPA ratio increasing for the past several quarters. So do you look at it this way that we'll go for higher disbursements to achieve that 20% growth only after you see some early indicators for the GNPA ratio decreasing, or it won't be contingent on that aspect, sir?
No, we will be pushing up disbursements. Like we said, I think in Q4, sequentially, our disbursements was higher by about 24%. And you will definitely see sequential growth. See, the quick back-of-the-envelope computation is we did close to 5,000 crores last year. Even if we had grown our disbursements by 15% this year, that number should have been about close to 6,000 crores. And another 15% will mean close to 7,000 crores for FY 2027. But given that this year we did not push up on our disbursements, like I even said earlier, there is a bit of a pent-up demand which we can definitely address. And this is a segment where the demand is of the least concern because it's a very huge market out there. And we should be able to get close to about 6,500-7,000 crores of disbursements in the coming year. So definitely, we have started, you know, looking at ways and means to bring in quality customers at the same time push our disbursements up.
So just to continue that, as I said in my opening remarks, we are already seeing a very good uptick in our collections. Just to go a little deeper, for the last 6 months, we are seeing a good trend in upwards in collections. So that is why we are able to do ever best in our collections in both in the X bucket as well as the unique customer collection efficiency. You will see the NPA slowing down from next quarter onwards. So, but that is the outcome because if current customers, X customers, forward flow is lower, eventually the arrears will be lower, eventually the NPAs will be lower. So we are seeing that trend very strongly. That's why we are confident to say that we'll be growing at 20%. So definitely in coming quarters, you'll see NPAs downing towards the south.
Understood, sir. Thanks. And sir, my second question was on our OpEx outlook for this year. So what plans do we hold in terms of increase in headcount and branch expansion for FY 2027? And if there'll be a breakup of in terms of tier one, tier two, etc., towns for the branch expansion, that will be helpful.
So our endeavor is keep opening the new branches. Last year also, we opened close to 90 branches. I'm happy to say that out of 90 branches, 95% of my new branches break-even has happened. So the infrastructure should be ready in place. That's why we keep opening because that's one of the important levels for growth for Five-Star. Going closer and closer to the customer in city where we have lesser competition and very understanding the ground-level reality of the customer, which is more important. So our catchment area around the branches will be 25-30 kilometers. So we want to be as close to the customer whom we intend to serve. So even for this financial year, we intend to open 60 to 75 branches. From an operation cost, Srikanth, you want to take?
No, like we said, I think these branches will come in, and we are very confident that over a 9- to 12-month period, these branches will start breaking even or becoming profitable, which is what we said that the OpEx to AUM level, we should be at about 7%-7.25% for this year, which is same as what we did in Q4. Because obviously, to retain our good people today, we have to, you know, compensate them at the appropriate levels, which would mean you're not going to get too much of scale benefits coming in this financial year.
Sure. Thanks a lot. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Arvind Ravichandran from Sundaram Alternates. Please go ahead.
Sorry, sorry, we are unable to hear you.
Sorry, can you hear me now? Hello? Hello?
Sir, can you hear us?
Hello, can you... Hello?
Hello.
Yes, sir, we can hear you.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me, sir? This is Arvind.
Yes.
Yeah.
Please, go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. Like, congratulations on the good set of numbers, especially on the asset quality side, especially on the early delinquency indicators. And you have mentioned, you know, like, there will be, like, subsequent improvement in NPAs and all. But my one question is on, like, you know, we have built, you know, so much capacity, especially in the last two, three years. You know, they're telling, I mean, I understand that 20% growth for FY 2027, but even beyond that, like, you know, like, the capacity kind of, we kind of built, and we continuously going to build, like, you know, can I assume that the 20% growth for the medium term, let's say 28 or 29, would be on the conservative side rather than on the even the maximum, like, could be like maybe better than that, better than 20%, let's say 28 or 29. And similarly, on the credit cost, like, you know, if you are, the steady state credit cost is going to be this way, and, like, you know, should we relook at our pricing also?
Arvind, I think Mr. Pathy did answer the first question. He very clearly said that for the medium term, we are definitely going to be looking at around 20% growth. So, you know, 20% is not the highest number that we are putting in. If, you know, we, if we get more confidence, we are able to, you know, sustain this level of asset quality and credit cost, we can even look at growing slightly on the higher side. So 20% is a number that we are confident of achieving, and possibly we could see some upsides coming in the years. On the credit cost, right now we are guiding you for, you know,  1.5%-1.6%. It is based on the profile of customers that we'll be onboarding during this year and thereafter. So at this point, we are not saying that we are going to be onboarding, you know, much higher quality customers, which means credit costs will come down. If that happens and the asset quality trends a lot better, naturally you'll see credit costs being better than our guidance.
Sure, sir. And there's one more question on the yield side. Like, you know, considering our steady state credit cost itself, we are, you know, looking at a slightly higher than what we had initially anticipated. Yes, could we relook at our pricing also? Like, because, you know, if a steady state credit cost is going to be
high. At this point, Arvind, there is no necessity for us to relook at our pricing, because we dropped our pricing by 200 basis points about 1.5 years back. And if you really look at the pricing that is being given by lenders to this segment of borrowers, we would largely be on the lower end rather than on the higher end of the range. So at this point, there is no issue from a pricing perspective, and it is not like we are, you know, we are being slow on disbursements because of pricing. The slowdown in disbursements is a conscious call given the challenges that we faced. And we don't really envisage at this point of time for any pricing drop to happen, at least in FY 2027.
Okay, but my question was on the other side, like, you know, like, should we relook at our pricing in terms of revising upwards? That's fine. Thank you. Sure.
Arvind, we'll keep evaluating it, but at this point of time, there is no proposal on the table to revise the pricing downwards or upwards.
Understood. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Subhranshu Mishra from PhillipCapital. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Two or three questions. The first part is, of this disbursement that we have got in FY26, what proportion is coming from the top-up loans and what proportion is to repeat customers? Second is, what is our proportion of collections which is still cash collections? And third is, what has been the write-off in FY26? Thanks.
So, Subhranshu, I think the proportion of top-ups and repeats continue to be at the same level. What we used to tell you is about 10 to 15% of loans, are people who are running multiple loans with 5-star. And you'll probably see similar levels from a disbursement side also, which is about 10 to 12% coming in through top-ups and repeats. On your second question, in terms of the cash collections, we had given this data. We are about 84% of collections that came in digital, in Q4 FY26. So 16% will be in cash. And this has been gradually moving up. If you look at over the last 1 year, we have moved this up from 80% to 84%. And if you look at the last 2 years, we have actually moved it from about 53% to 84%. Our intent is, how close can we get to about 90%? But you will always have to handle some level of cash given the profile of borrowers that we are operating in.
And what is the proportion of write-offs in 26?
You're talking about Q4?
No, the entire FY26.
So FY26, our write-off would have been about close to 160 crores. I can give you the exact number later, but somewhere around 160 to 165 crores.
Right. And just one follow-up. What is the proportion of repeat customers in the disbursement? 10 to 15% is top-up. How much is repeat?
Subhranshu, we don't distinguish here. Top-up and repeat are pretty much, we track it as a same metric. So the 10 to 15% that we are putting is a combination of top-up and repeat.
Right. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Rahul Kumar from Vakaria Fund. Please go ahead. Rahul, please go ahead with your question and unmute your line in case if you are on mute. Since there is no response, we will move to the next participant. The next question comes from the line of Vansh Solanki from RSPN Ventures. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, management. Hope I am audible. Yes. I'm new to this company. I want to understand the process of sourcing and underwriting with a collection. Like, I have read in many research reports and also with the other companies which I am tracking that the below 5 lakh segment is very connector-based segment and we have to generate the lead from a connector. Majorly, and what is the turnaround time for our disbursement and what kind of risk profile customers we are approaching in below 5 lakh segment and 5 to 10 lakh segment?
See, Vansh, we have a very proprietary underwriting which is based on evaluation of the character, cash flow and collateral, and this is a methodology that we have perfected over the last 20 years of operating in this segment. I think we can, we should probably get into a call separately so that we can actually take you in detail. Because in an earnings call, it will be very unfair for us to explain all of these to the other investors and analysts who are present. So please, you have the mail IDs of Prashant and me, on the presentation. Do write to us. We'll fix up a mutual time and we'll take you in detail through the underwriting process, the turnaround time and various aspects.
And another question on if I can ask here or all the question I need to ask on the offline only?
Let's connect offline because you're new to the company. I think it'll be good for you to understand the company first before coming out with your questions. So let's connect offline and we'll clarify, we'll explain to you about the company and also clarify any queries you may have.
Okay, sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Divyansh Gupta from Latent PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. A couple of questions. So just wanted to understand how does the sourcing and fulfillment strategy for the more than 5 lakh ticket size differs from our, let's say, existing less than 5 lakh customer profile, and does the CIBIL profile that we are targeting any different?
No, Divyansh, the underwriting process is largely the same. Like I said, it's based on evaluation of the character, cash flow and collateral, and we look at credit bureau footprint of the customers, what kind of loans they already have, and what is the performance on those loans. So there is actually no difference between underwriting, let's say, a 5 to 10 lakh customer vis-a-vis a 3 to 5 lakh customer. Again, like we offered to Vansh, happy to take you through the detailed underwriting process over a, you know, over a discussion. So please write to us in case you need any further clarifications, and we'll be happy to take you through in detail.
Sure, my question was actually also on the sourcing part, not necessarily underwriting. The question was,
no,
is the sourcing
both
channel
of them
because
same.
Both of
no,
them
no, no, no. Yeah.
Got it. And the second question is that we mentioned in the call that, let's say, 84% customers are paying us digitally, right? And when we want to take it to, let's say, 90, the question was that if the customers are paying digitally, then they start to have a digital footprint, right? Which goes against one of the reasons why Five Star is a better lender to those customers, because they don't have banking history, right? Now, if they are making digital payments, they have banking history. So, does this lead to any, let's say, insight from any fintech or any player coming in and saying that, okay, now I have some banking data of these customers, I can also lend maybe a small personal loan? I'm not saying same ticket size or secured loan, but just the data availability, does it lead to any player coming in, anything that you have seen from your data?
Definitely, whether Five Star wishes or not, now more and more digital prints have been taken by people everywhere. So that is inevitable. But coming to the direct answer, yes, fintech can take up our customers, but you have to understand the need of our customers. Yeah, the need of our customer is not 25,000 or 50,000 or less than a lakh. So our average ticket size today is around 4 lakhs. That's been used for business improvement, starting a business or a home renovation, or some a personal in nature, which is used for marriage or education or health. So first, the ticket size matters a lot when Five Star comes into picture. Second is the tenure. The fintechs can operate close to 6 to 12 months, whereas we can operate at 7 years period. So the EMI becomes more thinner when they come to Five Star rather than going into fintech. So we never saw fintech as our competitors ever since we have been saying, because they operate for a different working capital in nature, whereas Five Star's loans are morely into business constructing a purpose. So the end use is completely different. They may be giving a competition to the gold loans who are also in the similar ticket size and similar tenure, but not the loans like secured lenders like Five Star, where our loans are close to 4 to 5 and tenures are close to 7 years.
Got it. And just one data question. In the deck, we have the split of AUM that we give by cities, right? From, let's say, last quarter, it was around 1%. Now it is showing as 2%. So just a data roundup, or we are, let's say, putting in more effort to source higher ticket size from tier 1 and 2 cities? Because within a quarter, it has optically showing a doubling of AUM.
I think in Maharashtra, we have started our operations, right? Maharashtra looks very promising state. So we are moving our branch network from close to 40 to 70, 80 branches in Maharashtra. So when we enter into Maharashtra, we put branches in tier 1 and tier 2. Nasik will have a branches, Pune will have a branch, and Aurangabad will have a branch. So those branches is being shown in tier 1 and 2, so that you see a little uptick in the percentage.
Got it. And just last question. In the last year, we had opened 96 branches. And let's say that was a tough period for us from a lending perspective. Now, assuming that the current collection trends hold or improve, we have mentioned that we are looking to open only 60 to 75 branches. Shouldn't we be getting more aggressive in launching more branches? Why slow it down?
No, I think predominantly in last 3 years, our split branch mechanism and new branch mechanism has worked out very well. So in Tamil Nadu, Telangana, AP, where the major chunk of branches were put in last 3 years, have given us a right foundation and infrastructure right in place when we want to double our growth comparing to last year. So we think this financial year, we'll take a little smaller number and run with 60 to 75 branches. If promising things that we see from newer states like MH, Rajasthan, Gujarat, UP, Chhattisgarh, definitely we will also increase the number of counts in those locations.
Got it. Got it. Understood. Understood. Thank you for your answers. All the best.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Chandrasekhar Sridhar from Fidelity International. Please go ahead.
Hi. Good morning. I had a few questions. One, if you see the composition of the growth, a large chunk of the growth has come from the non-South markets in the last this year on the AUM. Just maybe you can some geographical sense around different markets. I mean, AP has been notably weaker this year. Anything around that? That's my first question. Second, you had briefly sometime in the middle of last year said that you'd look at affordable housing or getting to vehicles. I mean, where does that fit into your scheme of things at this point in time, maybe over the next 1 to 2 years? Third question, to get to about 20% AUM growth, we need about 6,200, 6,300 crores of disbursements, which means that, you know, we need to sort of step up to 1,500 crores on the first quarter itself, where typically it's weak. So how do you just think of that? Fourth, just how much more is left in terms of cost of funds to drop? Obviously, this quarter, a lot of the borrowing happens via ECB, so the incremental borrowing was largely ECB, so that's why we didn't see that. But just any more medium-term sense on how much more cost of fund can drop. And then the very last question is that, you know, asset quality is beginning to improve, but you're still holding on to somewhat similar credit cost level. Is this because we're trying to sort of up the coverage, you know, on some of the lower stages? I mean, the background also has been that RBI has now prescribed a minimum floor of even 5% on stage 2 for banks. And our stage 2 coverage is lower than, you know, what the RBI prescription itself is. Thank you.
Yeah, Chandra, good morning. Many questions at one go. So last two questions on disbursement and quality, I'll ask Srikanth to answer it. Going from the first question, yes, last year, definitely the non-South growth was going up. As I rightly said, in Maharashtra, Rajasthan, Gujarat and Chhattisgarh and UP, the branches were put in. Our portion of South to non-South, close to 85% of our AUM or even much higher will be in South, where this over-leverage problem started to creep in. So we had a hold on that very tightly for the first two quarters for the June and September. So we put our muted growth there and started to focus more on collections as we've been talking for the last 12 months. But having said that, next, this financial year, you see all the big states coming back in a big way. That's how we see Tamil Nadu, Andhra, Telangana, and of course, to some extent, Karnataka also, because the collections are stabilizing there. Ex-bucket collections in Karnataka also showed 99% in the last quarter. So for the financial year 27, it will be the growth of South for us, which will predominantly give us that 20% or even little more than that what we anticipate for the full year from South. On the second question, on the products, we have been introduced affordable housing in some of the locations, but our focus was mainly to get back the micro LAP product back to its original growth. So that was our first option, because the yields are good, the returns are good, and the runway is great there. So we will see micro lab, the sweet spot of 3 to 5 lakhs in 5 star, kicking back in a big way in this financial year. And slowly we'll be getting into the affordable housing product, where we want our sweet spot to be around 7 to 8 lakhs. Next 2 years, we may see even one more product getting added. That may be, we can call it out a little later. On the asset quality and disbursement, you're right, 1,400 to 1,500 crores of disbursement has to happen. Yes, sir, Srikant?
So, Chandra, this is what we alluded. For example, last year, not FY26, even in FY25, we did about 5,000 crores of disbursements for the full year, which is almost at, close to 425 to 450 crores on a monthly basis. And this year, obviously, we have consciously pulled back. So the ability to, push it by 20% on the back of 1 year old numbers is not a challenge at all. So today, you will probably see, and this will give you a lot more confidence, maybe post the first quarter. Even the first quarter, we are targeting, quite strong disbursements to come in. So we don't really see a challenge getting to about 6,200 to 6,400 crores of disbursements to achieve a 20% growth. See, credit cost levels, mathematically you are right. I think with asset quality improving, we should start seeing benefit on the credit cost. And at this point of time, there is not any tearing hurry for us to, keep creating buffers on the provisions. Obviously, we will continue to keep creating appropriate level of ECL on our book. Like you said, while I don't think that is going to come to NBFCs anytime soon, because the ECL framework for bank itself is coming in only from 1st April 2027. So I don't think that 5% is going to come on stage 2 anytime soon for the NBFCs. But just that, given that we are coming off a year when we have seen some challenges, possibly we are playing a little conservative from a credit cost levels, depending on how the DPDs stack up. You could see some benefit on the credit cost line kicking in actuals. And lastly, to a question on the drop in cost of funds. See, if you exclude the ADB borrowings that we did, our overall cost for this quarter will be somewhere around 8.25 to 8.3. And given the macroeconomic challenges, the geopolitical challenges, it is creating a little bit of uncertainty in the borrowing space. So at this point of time, I would probably say we don't expect too much of benefit to come in from cost of funds in the next financial year, but they'll continue to be a monitorable. So we will obviously keep pushing banks for much finer rates. Rating upgrade at least till the end of the year, or maybe till the second half of the year, is out of question till we start showing some benefit. So most likely, I think we should be borrowing at average rates of closer to 8.5 levels, which means, at the book level, you still have another 30-40 basis points of cost, but that will come over the next 2 to 3 years. So if you're borrowing at 8.5, naturally the book has to come to about 8.5, right? But it'll probably take 2 to 3 years. So, that much of juice could still be there in the book, but geopolitical challenges are creating some murmurs, especially on the liquidity side. We will get to know. Obviously, in April, we have not borrowed any monies, given the strong liquidity position that we are in. But we'll get to know a little better over the next couple of months. And I think we'll be able to give you a better perspective in the next earnings call. At this point of time, we would say, I think we will largely be where we were in FY26. FY26.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the last question from the line of Aditya Das from Samatvam Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes.
Yes. Please go ahead with your question. Since there is no response from the participant, that brings us to the end of the question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for the closing remarks.
Yeah. Thank you all for taking up this call with us. As we said in the opening remarks, you will see the onward and forward growth coming back to 5-star. And I'm happy to give a closing comment that I'm happy to share that board has declared the same dividend what we got in last financial year. So that gives also a good positive sign to the retail shareholders. So with this positive comment, I'm thanking each and everyone who have joined this call. See you soon in the next earning call. Thank you.